fighting for America.
This is a part of the war on whites that's being launched by the Democratic Party. And the way in which they're launching this war is by claiming that whites hate everybody else.
Fighting for Idaho.
Social Security is not going to be available for most people who are in their, say, under 40 today and maybe even under 50 today. And that's a danger. But we don't have the political ability today to implement changes.
Fighting for you.
That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
What will your verse be?
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You can always reach us at kevin@kidoam.com on Facebook and everything else. We're joined now by Christine Harbin Hansen of Americans for Prosperity. Good morning, ma'am.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us here at 580-KIDO with Kevin Miller. So before we get to the proposed soda tax, what's really the state of the nation from your perch there at Americans for Prosperity? How are we doing?
Well, it's August recess here in Washington, so it really gives a lot of us who haven't left town for their home districts some time to reflect and see what's going on. Right now, Congress has a lot on its plate. It has a lot of things that it left to do, including appropriations legislation. It has to actually appropriate funds for the government because those are going to run out at the end of September. It has the Export-Import Bank. Reauthorization coming up. We have, not only do we have budget and spending, we have also energy problems. The Obama administration is trying to take over our power plants with these new rules. So there's a lot going on here, and Congress is going to have to address most of it that when it comes back in September.
You know, it's kind of interesting. It's the gang of the usual suspects, or it's kind of that time of year again where appropriations, where budgets are done. And, Christine, it's amazing to me that private business, private industry can get a budget done without holding their companies hostage the way Congress seems to do when we're talking budgets and federal workers and programs that a lot of folks are dependent on.
You're right. It's one of the more alarming things about Washington's finances from our perspective here at Americans for Prosperity has been the complete breakdown we've seen in the regular order in the federal budget process. You know, the way this works, you know, is that each, you know, the House and the Senate are supposed to work through these 12 bills that provide funding for different parts of the federal government. And the Senate hasn't considered any on the floor. The House has put in a good faith effort, but, you know, they've gone through like 7 or 8 already this session. So it means that they're, you know, facing a deadline in September. They're just going to roll them together without any scrutiny. And it's a problem for taxpayers because it leads to higher spending.
Well, before we get into some other things, is it kind of like summer recess, literally, where you are, because are the restaurants less crowded? Is it traffic less congested in D.C. since all the politicians and their aides have hit the road?
Very much so. Actually, I was just commenting about this yesterday because my husband and I had dinner up by the Capitol, and it was so easy to get a table right in the shadow of like the Library of Congress. It was an amazing seat, and nobody was there, and they let us stay there for a while. I likened it to like a college town when all the kids go back for, you know, summer vacation, and I would always stay back and enjoy kind of having a city to myself. That's what Washington's like right now.
Yeah, you're having a good time, and certainly that'll go on for a little while here. Let's talk a little bit about your organization. We've heard a lot of buzz about it. Americans for Prosperity growing nationally, possibly one day could open up a chapter here in Idaho. What's your mission?
Definitely. Well, Americans for Prosperity is a grassroots organization, and we're focused on issues related to economic freedom. And those issues include budget and spending, energy policy, healthcare policy. We've been the one of the nation's leading opponents to the president's health care law. We have over 30 chapters in the states, and although we don't have one in Idaho yet, I emphasize the word yet, we do have over 2 million activists in all 50 states who are committed to limited government and holding their elected officials accountable.
Yeah, and that's the word on the street that we could be someone coming soon here to Idaho. Let me hit you with this. What are the economic impacts of Obamacare, number one? And we really haven't seen what it's really going to do to us because there have been a lot of waivers.
Yeah, the problem, there's a lot of problems with Obamacare. And I guess the big issue, one of the things that's going to hit American households one of the worst is rising health care costs. And that's something that we're seeing right now. We're seeing many states' insurance commissioners coming out with their premium announcements for the next fiscal year, for 2015. And what we're seeing is some stark increases across the state. And here we are, like, into probably year six of implementation of Obamacare. And, you know, the Congress and state governments are still figuring out the details. You know, remember over this past year, we saw those glitches with the website. And really, that's just, you know, a symptom of some serious underlying problems about implementing the president's health care law, which is going to have a huge impact on people.
Indeed. Christine Harbin Hansen, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. She's with Americans for Prosperity. It's kind of frustrating for a lot of folks, whether they're in business or not. And, you know, people talk about the great divide happening here. It's like Karl Marx revisited the haves and the have-nots because of the rising cost of health care and the economy itself, Christine. We're not seeing a burgeoning middle class. We're seeing a receding middle class.
It's true. And one big concern that we have from our perspective at Americans for Prosperity is that, you know, we're seeing an economy that's struggling to recover. We're seeing people, Americans who are, you know, having difficulty finding jobs in the down economy. Businesses are facing higher costs due to these new rules and regulations coming out of Washington. It's a problem because it means they can't hire on more workers. It means they can't expand as easily. People are really struggling right now. And instead of rolling back some government, you know, rolling back the red tape and reducing some government programs, you know, President Obama and his allies in Congress are making things worse. So, you know, we've been really focusing a lot of our efforts on educating Americans on the harmful impact of these big government policies.
Yeah, but is there any good news? I mean, is anybody standing up for the folks?
Oh, well, we have a wide coalition of partner organizations, you know, representing millions of Americans, including, you know, Americans for Prosperity activists who are committed to holding their elected officials accountable. People are upset about the higher spending levels they're seeing out of Washington. They're upset about this power grab from the Environmental Protection Agency. And, you know, it sometimes doesn't feel like it, but people on Capitol Hill do listen. So that's why it's so important to let your elected officials know how you feel about, you know, what they're doing in their state house, here in Capitol Hill. And we try to make it really easy for people to do that. So if you go to AmericansForProsperity.org, or if you get connected with some state chapter, our folks can help you with that as well.
All right, let's talk a little bit about a possible soda tax.
Yeah, so earlier, like we were talking about, Kevin, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of really important issues that Congress has to get through. But instead of actually tackling these issues, we see some legislation that, you know, just betting are things as small as soda taxes. This actually is really fits in with some of the narrative that we see with the First Lady's initiative, her Let's Move campaign, you know, working with local school districts to reduce the number of, you know, micromanage what kind of foods they have. So this would be a 1% tax on every 4.2 grams of caloric sweetener, and it'll have a lot of problems in policy and in principle.
It's just interesting, the idea, and we've talked a little bit about this lately, Christine, the idea that Americans should have the right to be unhealthy, but apparently not under this administration.
Well, what health care you consume and what kind of whether you consume sugary beverages, those are very personal decisions that, you know, a person should make, that a parent should make for her children. These decisions shouldn't be made for by bureaucrats in faraway Washington. What we see here is an alarming trend. It's consistent with the overreach from federal agencies that we've seen elsewhere, and it's something that we're very worried about at Americans for Prosperity.
Well, how would this tax work?
Well, this would be an excise tax. So it would be a special. What that means is that it would be a special tax that would just be on soda. This is the same kind of, you know, soda is an easy target, right? You know, we know that consuming higher rates of, you know, refined sugars often leads to obesity. But so this tax is has the ostensible goal of reducing obesity. That remains to be seen. We've seen in similar taxes elsewhere that they actually have a very small impact on obesity rates. But what this tax will do is just make it more expensive to buy soda. It has some economic problems. It's probably not going to produce the revenue that its supporters say. It's just really bad in principle. We have here government attempting to micromanage our waistlines using the tax code, and that's not what the tax code is supposed to be used for.
Christine
Miller heads to the annual United Way Flapjack Feed, August 21st, at the Boise Center on the Grove. Details at 580KIDO.com. Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Change is needed, and women are smarter than men.
There you have it. Kevin Miller in the morning. Christine Harbin Hansen with us, Americans for Prosperity. Any comment on that clip? Christine? Well, hang on. We'll see if she's there at 580KIDO. It was so compelling. It was so riveting. We lost Christine there. Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Kevin. There can never be too many Kevins. I remember when I was a little kid, I always wanted to be like Michael, Mike, Mikey. Now, Kevins. A lot of Kevins. In fact, the older Kevins, like me, you know, we remember when the name Kevin wasn't so popular. But now, whether it's Kevin from The Office or Kevin this, Kevin that, a lot of Kevins. So we go back to the Newsmaker phone lines at 580KIDO. Christine Harbin Hansen with us once again. And we had Michelle Obama saying that women are smarter than men. And we pitched it to you, and you weren't there. So any comment on that one, Christine?
Well, that's outside of our policy purview at Americans for Prosperity. So I have my personal thoughts, but I won't say them.
We go to the phones, and we go to the ever-working, the ever-diligent, the ever-vigilant Dean, or Gene from CUNA at 580KIDO. Hello, Gene.
Good morning, my brother. How are you today?
Living the dream.
Hey, man. Christine, it's a pleasure listening to you, dear. I do have a couple of questions about this prosperity or whatever it is. How can we combat this? I mean, my brother Kevin says he's shaped like a bell pepper. I'm more along the lines of a pear. I'm skinny up top, and I got a real wide bottom. But
well, hold on. Thanks for disclosing you have a real wide bottom.
Well, what can I say, my brother? It's like, you know, we're still in the vegetable aisle, so we're good. But, you know, my blood pressure is 120 over 69. My pulse rate my pulse rate is like 70. They say I have the heart of an athlete. But And I feel healthy. I feel good. And I may not look that great, but hey, I'm happy with the way I am. My oldest daughter is heavy. My wife is heavy. But still, we're in good health for as heavy as we are. Why does Michelle Obama feel it's her right to dictate to us what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat? This coming from a lady that to me looks like she has legs the size of redwoods. I don't get it. I just don't. Where does she come up with this fact that she has the right to tell us how to live? Christine, could you answer that for me, please?
Definitely. Well, I think that one really important part that I think I'd like to draw out of your comments is the fact that, you know, what you decide to eat is a personal decision, and it's, you know, you make it in consultation with your doctor, or you make it in consultation with your family. So these are really personal, like specialized decisions. And what we don't need is some, you know, bureaucrats or the first lady in faraway Washington dictating what we eat based on, you know, some set standards that, you know, that have been, you know, arbitrary. And actually, there was, we see elsewhere, like in the Government Accountability Office earlier this week, came out with a report on a different federal agency, one with the EPA, talking about how their studies don't really stand up to scrutiny. That's a problem we see elsewhere in federal government. So I think you make a very important point. These are very personal decisions. What we eat should be a personal decision, and we don't need the federal government making that for us.
No, I'm mean to that, my dear. I'm mean to that. Well, listen, Kevin, I won't take up any more of your time. I just was curious, and I had to had to put a point or two in there. But, you know, my brother, it's what we eat is up to us. And if I want to go eat a barrel full of hot dogs, by golly, I'm going to have a barrel full of hot dogs. How about you?
I resemble that remark.
Okay, my brother. Listen, Christine, you and Kevin have a blessed day. I'll be praying for you, and hopefully we'll talk to you again. Bye-bye now.
There we have it. Gene and Kuhn at 580 KIDO revealing that he has a wide bottom. I bet you don't get that every day, Christine.
No, it doesn't come up during every radio interview, but
it's the magic of,
I appreciated the report.
It's the magic of Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO. So back to Gene's other question. What can we do to stop this takeover? And is there anybody in Congress, the hardworking Congress, on their five-week recess that it really distinguishes themselves for standing up for the folks?
Yeah, well, the first way where you can get involved is by getting connected with Americans for Prosperity. And you can do that by taking action on our website. You can go to action.americansforprosperity.org. That's a great way to get involved on issues like this and many other issues that we work on. Another way is to get connected with local state chapters. Again, we don't have one in Idaho yet, but I know that we have many resources in Idaho. We have a number of Americans for Prosperity activists there as well. So there's a number of ways to get involved through our organization. It's really important to, but there's other things too. Like you can write letters to the editor. You can visit your lawmaker. Just call him up, literally call up his office and tell him that you oppose a lot of the legislation like this soda tax legislation coming out of Washington, and let him know that you want him to do something about it.
Christine, we appreciate it. We'd love to have you back.
Oh, I'd love to. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, there we have it. Christine Harbin Hansen from Americans for Prosperity. You've heard a lot about that group, but just our never-ending quest to bring you the best guests, the best information, and solutions here at 580 KIDO, and perhaps one day they will have a chapter. But it's up to us, just like it's up to us to protect ourselves from the bad people. It's up to us to come up with the solutions. What happens, what we're seeing now, the consequences when we kind of let the government, you know, I'm from the government, I'm here to help, that famous line. But what we're seeing here is the consequences when we kind of check out, right?
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
But we're not bitter. 580 KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
Bobby and KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us for the Manly Man segment on Dave Burnett's favorite day, which would be Friday.
Good morning, Kevin.
Dave, good to have you with us. Certainly a lot of people are excited for more and more preseason football. But I think there's an issue that's kind of troubling in our society today. We have so many distractions. I'm just really wondering if anybody is focused anymore.
Huh? No, that's a very valid point. I mean, even here in the Valley, I mean, yet you got an exhibition game with the BSU Broncos. You got the Caldwell Night Rodeo going on. You got the fair opening. And that's aside from the regular day-to-day life we live.
Well, and even, you know, it's funny, and it's really whatever job it seems to be these days. If you're not ADD when you started, you sure will be by the time you're done. And just the incredible amount of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Pinterest. People just don't unplug. I have a friend of mine who runs a seminar every year. A couple years ago, it was in Arizona. Last year, it was in Phoenix. And he talks about the millennial generation. And he says these people sleep less. They're stressed more. And I was thinking about, you know, people go to bed at night with their phones, looking at messages. And I'm thinking to myself, how did we survive? Heck, when we went to school, we passed notes to one another. But, I mean, without being so uber plugged in. And I have to say, I'm kind of new to this stuff as opposed to these wily veterans.
Well, you know, I recently opened a drawer in my garage, and I found something. It's kind of a relic, but it was a big deal when I first got it. A pager.
Ah, yes.
I had a pager that the radio station I worked for gave me in case they needed to get hold of me. It was a pager and that I could call. But, you know, because it was a big deal because at one point only doctors and really important people had pagers. And that was it. Everyone else, you'd have an answering machine. Beep. You have 4 messages. That was a big deal at the time. Does anyone have answering machines?
Well, it's funny because somebody said something to me. Our friend Brad, I met with him yesterday, and he was talking about this new service that customizes your answering machines or, you know, press 1 for your assistant. And I go, I don't listen to messages. I just see somebody called and call them back.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that I'm not uber plugged in, if you will. I mean, I just find it kind of crazy to even listen to messages anymore.
Yeah, well, that's why I tell people, text me. Because if they call and leave a message, I'll call them back. The only way I'll go check for messages is if they don't answer when I call back. I do the same thing you do. I just see you called. I don't look for your message. I call you back. Now, if you don't answer, then I'll go to the headache of looking for the message.
Well, speaking of texting, you know, our former leader, he would text us all the time. And it used to drive me crazy and go, guy, doesn't this guy talk? And after a while, you just kind of conform and get used to the texting thing.
You do. And, you know, the weird thing about texting and the hard thing is you cannot get tone of voice in texting.
Ha!
So sometimes you look at a text and you go, what exactly are they saying? And how is it they're saying that to me?
Right.
And you can take something as being lighthearted when it was serious, or you can take something that was lighthearted and make it an insult. Easy to do.
Well, same thing with emails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just hate emails, and I hate communicating that way.
But that's the world we live in now. I mean, we had somebody here in the building, one of the other disc jockeys in the building, that was taking a trip, and their phone melted down, I mean, the morning that they were leaving for the trip out of town. And basically, she melted down, too, because, well, what am I going to do without a phone on the trip? I need this. I need that. You know, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, calm down.
Right.
It's just a phone. But this is a big deal.
Indeed, indeed. And it's interesting how much we come to depend on our phones and such. And I don't know, there's a couple times where I have said, you know, I don't need my phone, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then all of a sudden Bo Bergdahl was released. And then it's back to work. So,
mm-hmm. Or even like, you know, if you're traveling, your boarding pass for the airplane, it's on my phone. I don't carry a paper boarding pass. I just scan my phone.
Now, you're one of those highfalutin types.
Well, it's easier. Don't have papers to carry around.
Yeah, I just crinkle my thing up and, hello.
Good morning. Welcome aboard.
Well, speaking of which, flying, and you've flown recently. How was your experience here at 580 KIDO?
Excellent. I had the TSA pre-boarding pass last time I flew. So I just passed right on through.
Well, does that really make that big of a difference?
Oh, yeah, it does. Didn't have to take my shoes off. Didn't have to, you know, do all the things with my laptop. It was nice.
Right.
Just went, they scanned it all. Didn't have to take belts off or any. I wasn't wearing a belt because I didn't, you know, I don't wear a belt when I go through there because that's always a pain to get redressed. But, yeah, it was nice. It made it quick.
But do you really travel that much to warrant it? Shouldn't you be traveling like once a month to get that thing?
I would think so, you know, and I don't travel that often. I mean, I'm flying again this weekend, but that's kind of a rare deal. But, yeah, I don't travel that much. You would think it would be somebody who does it for a, you know, regular, you know, they're as familiar with the airport is with them.
580KIDO, as we continue on here, Dave Burnett, Kevin Miller. Yeah, I just think the traveling, it's become glorified cattle cars, if you will. You know, when you get up there in the planes and, you know, sometimes you don't even get the peanuts anymore.
No, last trip I got these mustard-flavored little pretzel bites and a glass of juice. I passed. I said, no thanks. No thanks. I don't want any of it. I don't want to have to deal with the trash afterwards. No. But then there was a guy a little bit ahead of me that opened up his bag, and it was like a smorgasbord. It was like he stopped at Chuck Wagon before he got on the plane.
Yeah, I've noticed that, that the people continue to bring their food.
Mm-hmm.
Again and again. I've got another thing for you. Now, you know I'm addicted to ramen noodles, right?
Yes. Mm. Every morning.
Well, I will tell you this. It's funny because I think when I went on that walk from Haley to Boise, I think some mornings I had maybe three or four of those things.
Mmm, cup of salt.
It's no wonder that I ended up in the doctor's office and now on the Blood Pressure Medicine Express. But you've got a new study published in the Journal of Nutrition that found that ramen, along with the other instant noodles, may increase a person's risk for carbon metabolic syndrome, a risk factor for severe cardiovascular disease, and stroke. After I read this, I'm done with the ramen noodles.
Hmm.
Got a little protein bar now. And I've cut back kind of, I mean, sometimes I'd have two or three here a couple of years ago, and I would cut back to one maybe four or five times a week. But the study, researchers looked at the data from 19 to 64, that if you ate ramen twice or more per week was associated with this syndrome we talked about.
What is it? Carbon what?
Carbon metabolic syndrome.
Hmm.
A collection of abnormalities affecting the body's cardiovascular, renal, and metabolic systems. You don't want problems with your renal system.
No, or your cardiac, either one.
Mm-hmm. So it went on and on and on, talked about the instant noodles, and they wonder because if it's in styrofoam, it's high in sodium. And apparently it does a number because of what's in them. The stomach works overtime, struggling for hours to grind up the strands. Here, you're going to love this. TBHQ, a petroleum byproduct. A petroleum byproduct in the ramen noodles.
Hmm. TPHQ?
TBHQ.
Oh, I thought it was TK. Okay, man, that's better.
It's a, yeah.
TBHQ. That means it's a big word that neither one of us can pronounce.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So we've got that going on. And, you know, sometimes it's interesting. In the old days when you had a lot of angst, and maybe times are changing, you played the hits. And I suppose morning drive is unique to other parts of the day in the news talk world. But there's just so much ton of bad news lately. I mean, we've got people rioting still in Missouri. They're saying they're poor, so that's why they riot. Of course, the death of this young man, which is regrettable. The militarization of the police. Never mind the border. Never mind the economy. Never mind the Middle East. And you think to yourself, maybe my neural receptors have been blown out just because of all the bad news. And how do you wake up to that?
It is difficult. There are times when I leave on a weekend and I do shut all media out just because, other than Twitter, just because it's so negative. And when you get pounded with negative, 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 you can't help but come up and be a negative Nelly. I mean, it is difficult. You look at the headlines and, you know, and then you're dealing with, You know, you're dealing with car crashes, you know, deaths and accidents, you know, on the local level. Fortunately, there's not that many big scandals and there's not rioting like there is in Ferguson. I'm glad I'm not waking up there this morning, but things better overnight, by the way. But still, you look at what's happening not only internationally but locally, it overloads the system and it does affect you. It does. It makes you negative about everything. You think the world is coming to an end.
Well, you know, I was just talking to somebody last night and they're saying, well, are we even going to have a dollar or a country here in 5 years? And I go, well, I'm planning on that.
Well, they said that 5 years ago.
Well, you remember Y2K.
Oh, yeah. That was the end of the world.
Now, what were you doing during Y2K? What, did you work that night?
I had my pager on me.
But if it was Y2K, wouldn't your pager go out?
Yeah, it probably would. I was actually working. I think I was working a New Year's Eve party that night, hosting a New Year's Eve party.
I remember I was out driving around in the news van, and we did extensive coverage. And the TV stations, local TV stations, all went to extensive coverage. And then halfway through it, they said the heck with it and started ringing in the new year. It was interesting
because
going from
nothing happened.
Right, from straight news to that. And I remember go, well, I see all the lights on, everybody, but we're still on patrol. And, of course, if it's Y2K, your cell phones are going to go down.
Yeah, and we would have known, you know, when Australia went dark, we would have known to brace ourselves.
Yeah, wouldn't that have been funny if just Australia, just for a joke, just went dark for like 30 seconds?
Well, it's weird. Yesterday, when it was a nightmare last night, or two nights ago, because we had the lightning and thunderstorms, which was bad enough, waking you up, all the noise and the flashing going on. And then our power went out in the house. I wound up yesterday morning coming into work at 2 o'clock in the morning because I thought, well, this is stupid. I was going to work because I was waiting for the power to come on at 2 in the morning. But then I thought to myself, what if this was it? What if this was the big one and we got hit by a, you know, a solar flare or maybe a electromagnetic pulse went through a, you know, a dirty bomb went up? What if this is it? How would I know? And then I got my phone and tuned into the radio pup and the radio station was on. I went, nope, we're good. But for a second, I thought, how would you know? Just all the power's out. How would you know?
Would you want to know?
Well, when I went out to start my truck and it turned over, I thought, well, that's good. It wasn't an electromagnetic pulse.
I think you're listening to George Norrie too much.
I do on the way, and so I'm thinking this could be it. But that day is coming when that solar flare may hit the Earth and it may wipe out all of our electronics. But I thought, as I lay there in the dark thinking, how do I know this isn't it? And I'm thinking, I don't have enough water. I don't have enough food.
Right.
Where's my gun?
Where's my gun? Only in Idaho at 580KIDO. I have to say something else, and this is a kind of a dated commentary, but I finally saw that movie Gravity.
Oh, did you?
Oh, man. And guess who I thought of?
Neil Armstrong?
Dave Burnett.
Me?
I remember you raving
about
that movie.
Saw it in 3D.
That must have been
IMAX.
Amazing, because just seeing it on my TV...
Mm-hmm.
I was just visually blown away. And when Clooney loses her from Rennet, and you see the enormity of space and what those folks, the possible dangers that they have.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
It was, and Sandra Bullock did a great job in the movie, considering it was her in front of a green screen for the bulk of it. But, yeah, we saw that in IMAX 3D, and it was awesome.
And let me say something. The attempt is going to be complimentary, but it might be misinterpreted. Gee, that never happens. For a young lady, 50 years old, 49 at the time, oh my, she was in incredible shape.
Oh, she is.
For 50?
Oh, yeah. I openly said in front of my wife, had I not married my wife, I probably would have married Sandra Bullock.
It's words to live by.
I know.
And you know me. I'm not one of these people that walk around with their tongues on the floor like most of the slappies around here.
No, I don't think I've ever seen your tongue on a floor.
No, I just sit there and I appreciate people for what they are on the inside.
And she does a great job acting in it. I mean, you emotionally go through what she goes through up there.
Yeah, but I mean, just the physicality of it. Mm. And I'm thinking, you know, this woman could be 30 the way she looks. And I'm like, dang. Because you don't hide a lot with a tank top and shorts.
No, not spandex shorts and a tank top. It's all you.
And thankfully, We didn't, you know, we left something to the imagination. It was like a real astronaut's uniform.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she was in shorts and a tank top, but there's nothing provocative about it.
Yes, finally. No
Which I think added to her character and the acting job she did.
Yeah.
But no, a very good movie is one I recommended.
You did. You did. I wanted to wait till it came out on the whatever channels.
If for whatever reason you get a chance to see it 3D IMAX, oh, man. It's an experience.
Huh. Any big plans this weekend?
Actually, I'm leaving town. I am hosting an event out of town this weekend, so I will be scanning my phone again and getting out of town.
Are you trying to rival our friend O, the conservative comedian? Are you doing, like, gigs on the side? Because I know you have a budding career in this. It's not an easy thing what you do, getting on stage and...
Gigging frogs and side gigs, I like both. They're both fun to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I got that going on.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, mowed the lawn yesterday, did all the work outside I had to do yesterday, got that done. So the weekend stuff is done.
If you could only do that on every Thursday.
I know, it'd be great. Huh? Kevin, that traffic now as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County, looking good, no major problems.
580 KIDL, Fox News is next. Stay tuned. No flipping.
Serving